Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. It's our privilege to have with us one of the smartest guys I know about the Middle East, specifically about a very important country, much in the news these days, namely Turkey. He is Dr. Harold Rode. For many years, he served as the duty expert on this part of the world for the Department of Defense, including as the Turkish desk officer there for a time. These days, he is the senior fellow at the Gatestone Institute, specializing in reportage about Turkey, Iran, and other parts of the Middle East and our interests there and beyond. Harold Rode, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. It's always a great privilege to have you with us.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for what you just said. Nice to be with you.
Let's talk about Turkey. I was going to say let's talk Turkey, but that would be, I think, probably inappropriate to make light of what's happened there in the past couple of days, specifically this jihadist attack at the airport in Istanbul. Give us your take on what has happened and who might be responsible.
Well, first of all, Erdogan has been playing with the fundamentalists, meaning that he was supporting them. He was supporting ISIS in Syria. He's been supporting all sorts of groups. He's basically very pro and possibly part of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is why he hates Sisi in Egypt, because Sisi overthrew the Brotherhood. Now, in this particular instance here, playing with any of these extreme radical fundamental Islamic fundamentalist groups is like playing with fire, because you think that you can support them, and but the slightest thing goes wrong, they'll turn around and they'll hurt you.
Hey, Harold, can I just ask you on that question, because I think it really cuts to the quick of this thing. But when you hear the Islamic State is potentially the party responsible for this attack, is it really a question of two competitors for the title of caliph, the leader of the Muslim world? And if so, is there a dime's worth of difference, really, between the ambitions of the Erdogan regime and those of the Islamic State? Give us a sense of are these two competitors for the title of leaders of the caliphate?
On one hand, the answer may be yes, but the question is, does it matter? Because the truth is, until we in the West eradicate all of these Islamic radicals, and I mean eradicate, if one goes away, another is just going to take its place. Because as long as they see us weak, then they're going to continue. They'll call it this name, they'll call it another name. All of a sudden, people who are a member of one group become a member of another group. We're obsessed with finding which group is responsible. I'm not sure it matters in the end. It's the bad guys who are the Islamic fundamentalists, which are responsible. And whatever their name, whatever their group, they must be made to go and meet Allah.
What does it mean, though, Harold, that among them is the president of an allied NATO nation, Recep Tayyip Erdogan?
Well, you're right. The question is, in fact, the answer. What does it mean? Let's hope that that after November, that when, you know, maybe it's after January, when we have a new president, one of them at least may be linked to re-examine our relationship with America's enemies. And Erdogan is an enemy of the West. He's an enemy of the non-Muslim world. And, well, I guess we'll have to see what happens.
We will indeed. But in the meantime, he has just undertaken a rapprochement after years of severely strained relations, really disrupted relations, I guess it's better to say, with Israel. What is that about, Harold? You know Israel very well. You understand, again, this region quite well. What's afoot there, and what are the implications of this rapprochement?
Well, this is on the surface only. Israel will need to sell gas, and as a result of Erdogan screwing up his relationship with Putin, the Russians stopped selling gas. So Israel needs to sell gas. The Turks desperately need gas. It's also a good route to send gas to Europe. And so it suits everybody's economic needs. There is very clearly no love that Israel feels towards Erdogan, and Erdogan hates the Jews. He hates the Jewish state. And so there were a series of what appear to be external accommodations. For example, one of Turkey's conditions for a signing agreement with Israel for restoring relations was to end the blockade of Gaza, the Gaza Strip. And that's what the Mavi Marmara incident, which is the incident in 2010, which precipitated the Israel-Turkish break.
This was, of course, the freighter that the Turks sent directly to try to break the blockade of Gaza, and the Israelis stopped using a modicum of violence to do so.
Well, the Turks have given in, and they're going to send humanitarian aid, they call it now, to the people in the Gaza Strip, and that is going to go via the Israeli port of Ashdod, which means Israel will monitor absolutely everything that the Turks send there. The Turks want to complete building a hospital there. That's fine, but most of the hospitals in Gaza are also terrorist dens because the basements have all sorts of military equipment and things like that. They're not really hospitals. It's only on the surface they're hospitals.
Well, it's a vehicle for protecting those bases of operations, of course. Harold, one of the other nations with whom the Erdogan regime has just made amends, apparently, is Vladimir Putin's in Russia. Again, what's going on there, and what are the implications of that?
Well, Erdogan, according to the Kremlin, has apologized to Putin for having shot down the Russian airplane, which was along, depends which version you wish to believe, it was either over Syrian territory, it was about a year or so ago, or the Turkish version is for 17 seconds it flew over Turkey. Whatever the case, Russia has made Erdogan's life absolutely miserable. And in the Middle East, your personal honor is absolutely essential. And what that means is that under no circumstances can you admit that you were wrong. Under no circumstances can you apologize. I know this sounds alien to us here in the West, but that's the way it is. Middle East doesn't ever do anything wrong.
In other words, right?
It's faith. Yes. And the fact that Erdogan has apologized to Russia shows, and of course he hasn't said he has, but the Russians have said they have the document to prove it.
Made it public. Harold, now, does this mean that this sort of trying to clear the decks a bit in terms of the various difficulties his foreign policy has gotten into, that Erdogan will now be able to make a redoubled effort to consolidate his power and take his country still further in the direction of an Islamic republic, against the backdrop, again, of all of these things, including the violent attack this week?
Well, I wouldn't trust Erdogan as far as I could throw him, let's say. All I know is that his goal is to re-Islamify the government of Turkey, and he's largely succeeded in doing that. And after he does that, he wants to basically take over the entire Muslim world. He wants the Muslim world to be under his leadership as a caliph, and then basically find ways, and he's doing this already, to Islamify the rest of the world, because that's Islam's eventual goal, to take over the entire world. And that's what he's doing in Europe right now.
Indeed. And that is a subject for another conversation. Harold Rode, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Thank you for this tour de raison of what's going on in Turkey. I know you will keep up the terrific work you do at Gatestone Institute and hopefully come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll talk national security with a senior member of the House Armed Services Committee, Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.